He's a mighty God. Thank you, Lord God. We're continuing our series on the behavior of love. The behavior of love. Let's open up to our foundation text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look beginning at the first verse. The behavior of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. He alone is worthy, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Nothing in my hand I bring,
yes.
Simply to the cross I cling.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Just simply to the cross I cling. And nothing else to hold on to, amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 1. And if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profiteth me nothing. Profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag. And is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Verse 13. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greater of these is love. And look down to verse 14. Really could have been the last verse. Remember the chapter delineations and verses were not in the original manuscripts. They were added. So you really could add this as the last verse in chapter 13. Pursue love. Pursue it. Pursue love. Amen. Just a quick reminder. I want to make sure I mention every time the definition of agape love, just to keep it before your face. I want to keep mentioning that every time. Again, what it is not, agape love is not romantic or sexual love. That's the Greek word eros. Get our word erotic from that. Agape love is not mere sentiment or a pleasant feeling about someone or something. And thank God it's not. Does not mean close friendship or brotherly love. That's the Greek word philia, the word Philadelphia. Nor does agape mean charity, the King James Version translation of it, which is associated only with giving to the poor. So it's not romantic, sexual love. It's not a mere sentiment, a pleasant feeling. It's not close friendship, brotherly love. It's not charity. That's not what it is. What it is, that's not what it is. So what is it? Agape love is first and foremost at the core, what, anybody remember? Sacrificial. Somebody in there listening. First and foremost, it's sacrificial. You don't have to feel a certain way to sacrifice for your neighbor, right? Sacrifice is something that is done for your neighbor because you decided to do it. So thank God that the agape love, the power of God, is so powerful that it can override our feelings. It can override our sentiment. It can override not the fact that you're not necessarily so friendly with this particular person. Thank you, Jesus. Because if we love those who love us, we're just like the sinner. We're no better than them. So thank God it's not boxed in and relying on sentiment or good feelings. Because that's the case, you wouldn't do good for anybody but those that you are cool with. Right. But we're called to let our light so shine before the world, not acting like the world. Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a powerful love. Why weaken it with our lack of understanding about what it really is? And that is, it's beyond feelings. It's beyond sentiment. It's beyond emotion. It supersedes and exceeds that. Thank you, Jesus. It's first and foremost sacrificial. It's a sacrifice of self for the sake of your enemy. It's a sacrifice to you. It's something that you lose or something that you're not gaining, all for their gain, all for them to win, for their good, even for those who may not care nothing at all for you or may even hate you. You can still overcome that hate with what? Love. Agape love is not a feeling, but a determined act of your will. Lord, help us to get feeling out of it, because the world has taught us all our lives, and we've heard from the world that love is feeling, feeling, feeling. Feeling good, feel it, this, I got to feel it before I do it. It's emotional. No, it's not that. It's not a feeling. What it is a determined act of your will. It's an on-purpose, deliberate, intentional act of your will. As I said before, you don't slip or fall into love. God's love. That's the only true love. The only love there is. Others though ain't love. Be honest with you, because that human love is not love. Nat King Cole had a song out in the 50s, maybe, "When I Fall in Love, It'll Be Forever." Songs out during that time was that talked about, like, I didn't trip, you know, I didn't whatever, I fell in love. You know, it's like as if love is something that happens to you. Like, oh, I just fell in love, you know, fooled around and fell in love. Zing with the strings of my heart. Those are old songs. This is not that. This is on purpose. You made a decision. I'm going to do good. I'm going to pray for you. Right? Love your enemies. Remember, it says love your enemies, and then it gives you a list of what to do. Actions behind the love. How do you love your enemy? How do you love your enemies? Pray, do good. First it says, do good to them. Then you pray for them. If they're thirsty, give them drink. If they're hungry, give them food. If they need money, lend to them. Don't even expect back from them. That's how you love. You do good. You don't allow yourself, this determined act of your will will not allow yourself, the real you. Remember, talking about the real you, the spirit you. Apostle Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, doing no good thing, but in you, your spirit being. Well, that you then desires to not be overcome with evil, comma, but overcome that evil with good. That's a decision. I will not allow the mistreatment of this individual. And they are mistreating you. I'm talking about real wrong. All the range of wrong, from just straight up evil, horrible, to even some light things. And whatever way it is, the real you is equipped with the love of God that has already been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you, Romans 5:5. And that love can supersede the hate of an individual. It's a determined act of will. And that determined act, the proof that you are determined to act is that you go ahead and act in acts of self-giving. Again, self-sacrifice, to give of yourself. Give of myself to that enemy? Yes. Because that's what God did for us. We were enemies. Yes. So if we think that you giving of yourself to that enemy is beneath you, then you have to realize that God set the example for us to follow. Yes. We were enemies of him. Yes. And while we were enemies, still enemies, mm-hmm. we weren't quite per se breathing out threats of murder as Apostle Paul was in Acts 9, but we were still foul in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. Enemies. And while we were in that state of being an enemy, Christ died for us. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, what he's asking us to do is quite fair. I did that for you. I'm asking you as my child, as my representative, as my disciple, as my student, as my follower, to do the same because you represent me. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be determined to give selflessly. Love, this kind of love, is the willing desire to put the welfare of others above your own. The welfare of others before above your own. read it in Philippians 2:3. You don't have to turn it. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. When you regard someone as more important than yourself, guess what? It leaves no place for pride. It leaves no place for vanity. It leaves no place for arrogance, for self-important, self-seeking, self-glory. It's an act of the will. It's an act of choice. We ought to love our enemies. That's just review. We've talked about the behavior of love, how love is patient, how it bears patiently with the offenses of others. Mm-hmm. And when it does act, love is kind. It acts what is kind, beneficial, doing that which is useful, doing that which is needed and necessary for the betterment of the person who's wronged you. That's when you repay their evil with good. You bore it, you were patient with it, you were long suffering, slow to anger. And when you did act toward them, it was to benefit them, not to harm them. Not, it wasn't vengeance or vengeful. You were helpful, doing that which is needful and necessary. And as you hear this, you know it takes the Holy Ghost to do what we're talking about right now. Because you start thinking of a person, you know, there's no way. What I want to repay them with is a fist in a jaw. There you go. What? We in two. She threw her hands up like, pray, help me, help me. I said, what you want to repay him? And just as I said, fist in the jaw, she threw it just like that. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's right. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. And we have them. If you're born again, you have that love. And it's good to keep going over it. I just thank God for your testimony. You know, we're learning how to really walk in love. We're unlearning what we've been taught for decades. And that's not love. I remember somebody broke this down. Listen. Help me to get my thoughts together. Listen. And the young people need to hear this. Male and female, right? You know, you're seeing someone that you like, and we're looking at externals. I understand that's about all you can look at in the meantime, but what you shouldn't do is throw all your eggs in that external basket is the point I'm making. You got to look beyond that. You know, Lord, show me this person, you know. And the Lord tends to show you, and then we don't listen to him. Show you red flags. Oh, we meddling in the kitchen now. We all up in the kitchen now. I'm all in your pots and pans. My bad. I'm supposed to stay at the front door, but Holy Ghost is meddling. Because God is merciful. He will show you red flags. We were talking with two couples yesterday. He got to show you red flags. And when you don't listen and you're going into it, and then it's terrible and it's over, and you go back to that individual, male or female, yeah, you know, I did see some things. I figured I could fix it, or, you know, we believe we're the fix it man. No, none of that. Listen to this. I'm going to put it on the males. I'll start with males. A male says to a female, I love you. You look good to me. What they're saying is, the reason that I'm into you is because you please me. That's what we don't seem to see. It's not about them praising you. It's like, no, you look good to me. I like the sound of your voice. I like your body. All that pleases me. It's all about me. It's not about you. That's the world's love. That's the best they can do. Their love, at best, is selfish. It serves self. Because the moment your looks don't please me, then I don't want you.
Say that again.
Hallelujah. The moment your voice don't... Look. The girl says to the guy, these are hypotheticals. Girl, my man, your voice sound like Barry White. I just love your voice. Let it run out. Let her get tired of it. He's still sounding all deep and sexy. But to her, it's like, hey! You know, it's that screech nail on the board. You know, he's still sounding sexy. But it no longer pleases you. The point I'm making is that. It no longer, I like you because you please me. That's worldly love. And y'all got to realize that. And as saints of God, you got to not let the external be the thing that you go all in on. You got to beat some. You need to get some industrial strength knee pads. Chris will tell you where to get them. Industrial strength, because he works in that industry. He do the cleaning thing. He had the industrial strength. And get on your knees for a good year and say, Lord, is this dude for me? Because I don't care what he looks like. Don't you realize? I ain't telling y'all nothing new. You know everybody putting their best foot forward because I want something. It's all them. I want something from you. I want you because you please me. It's never about what can I do for you. See, agape love says, I want you so that what can I sow into your life? How can I serve you? and then the person who's also supposed to be a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, love of God in them, I say, what can I do to please you? So your plans are to please each other. Come on, my preacher. Selfless love. My baby, who I love with all my heart, I love that woman. Excuse me. Woo! She and I, when we put in that tape, that from Word of Faith, the first thing in there, he was explaining this kind of love, man's love in our life. We're like, oops. Well, we didn't do that right. We was in it. I mean, we was good. I got to tell you, the worst our marriage has ever been is good. Let that sink for a moment. The worst it's ever been is good. And that's true. She'll tell you that too. The worst it's ever been is good. So this is year one. This is year one. Maybe not quite even year, right at a year. We're riding home, listening to the tape series, the marriage series. Learning what real love is on the way home. Now, we had no premarital counseling. What we had was a determination to do God's word. We had no premarital counseling. But what we had was a developing love for God and his word. Vertical. God and his word, us and God, and then we were able to work on one another. But we were working on this right here. Sister Rolanda and God and me and God. So we were going home from that Word of Faith on that day. We were listening to, okay, we didn't do that right, but we're going to do it right. Oh, that was wrong. Well, we're going to work on that. We saw all of the things that we didn't do right because we didn't know. But yet and still, by the mercy and grace of God, the worst our marriage ever was good. And we endeavored, we're going to do better. Now that we know better, C. Brand says, when you know better, you do better.
Sure.
We got the information. Hallelujah. That's why here at Word of Life, you have no excuse.
Teaching ministry.
Once you get the information, you're obligated to obey, and you're going to be judged stricter than those who don't know. But it's too late now. You've been there for 20 years. You can't. Oops, I can't. Oh, Lord, I should have came here. Oh, Jesus. You might want to. Maybe you may not want to come here. Because we're going to teach you God's word. We love. Sister Lana and I, we love the word of God. It is our, we came in here, I got to do my Oprah. We came in there feeling mighty low, feeling mighty bad this morning. It be that way sometimes. Life handles. And Sister April, April, you do something wrong, I'm gonna whip you myself. Because she hears the Holy Ghost. Girl, that song you played, Blessed, The Road to Wilderness, what's the name of that song? That's the name of the Lord. Girl, I can come back there and slap you real good. That's a love slap. Serious, I'm serious. You please stay focused, girl. You hear me? Stay focused. Do not let this fool, this enemy out here disturb you. I know you're in the den, but you know you can handle it because he put you there. And keep her in your prayers, please. I said, girl, play one more. She came with another in the fire. We were feeling mighty low. We maybe had tears in our eyes and, you know. It be that way sometimes. It's okay. You know, that's how you grow. Right? Am I right, Miss Phyllis? That's how you grow. Either the pastor going to believe it or he's not. And if I'm not going to believe it, I need to sit down. But we were here in the company and the presence of the saints. And we just had a breakthrough. We praise him anyhow, whether we felt like it or not. It's not about feelings. Please, my people, please get rid of that. Don't let feelings imprison you, because that's what it will do. It'll imprison you. Get out of cell block F, feelings. Break out of cell block F and stay away from H2. And let the Holy Ghost set you free. Amen. Amen. Give him praise and glory when you don't feel like it. It's not about feeling like it. It's because he's worthy. See, and the devil said, well, you fake. You don't feel like it. So why are you praising him? Because he's worthy. Not because I feel like it. Speak back to that fool. Not really, but... Yeah, come with wisdom, though. Stand firm in your faith. Resist him. How? Firm in your faith. And the way that you show faith to Satan is praising God anyhow. Come on, somebody. Oh, I love that anyhow. Anyhow. It's not about how you feel. Because he's been faithful. And he is faithful to you right now, even in this hard place. So even my best Oprah Winfrey imitation, I was feeling mighty low. I was feeling mighty bad. See, I know there's a God. I know there's a God. God sent Celia in the store right at that time. Hey, there's a Celia for you, amen. And my Celia was April Lou. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So we're feeling mighty low.
Yes, Lord.
Feeling mighty bad.
Thank you.
And he says, see it. Woo-wee. Mm-mm-mm. I'm about to explode up here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God is real.
Yes.
For I can feel him in my soul. Yes. My Lord and my God. And you know what? You don't never get to this unless you've been broken.
Amen.
You'll never get to it. You just take things for granted. All the days are sunny. And there's no rain. And you know what? That makes you spoiled.
Soft.
It makes you soft. It makes you an ingrate. MacArthur was explaining why what happens until the generations downward. Like at Grace Community Church, one of the greatest churches ever in the history of all mankind. I thank God for that. In this day and age, you have a mega Reformed church and not be charismatic? That's incredible. They have a campus with 10 buildings on it. It's an incredible thing to see. Am I right, Chris? Christopher Allen? It's an incredible thing to see. Incredible. And this is not Reformed. I mean, charismatic. We're not preaching money coming to me right now.
Sowing seed.
Glory be to God, he's sowing seed and doing it God's way. Wow, it's incredible to see. There are generations that have been at that church. Now listen to this. They say he started there in 69. Dr. John McQuick was when my baby was born. In fact, he started around the same month my baby was born. So he's been there 55 years. He's saying that when those generations... You bring them up in there. They don't have any struggle. They rob Grace Church. They got all these 10 buildings, all these programs, all these things. They get soft. They get weak. They're not as grateful. Because they haven't been through the hard times, the struggles that grow you. You feel privileged. That's a whole new generation. So we got to pray for these younger generations that have been at a lavishly blessed church for decades, and all you've seen is just, you know, I mean, they got, it just generations there. Got to realize, hey, hold on. The parents, really, grandparents, that village that raised, they need the village saying, hey, you know what? That's not the right attitude. You got to teach them how to be grateful. Teach them how to be thankful. Because it doesn't have to be this way. And that's where the grace loses its amazingness. It's not a word, but it is today. The grace is no longer amazing. Man, you get into some struggles and challenges, you're going to appreciate God a whole lot more. I guarantee you that. Let the church say amen. Because he's worthy, not because we feel it, because he's worthy. Because of who he is, not because of what I feel. I'm going to say that again. He's worthy because not because of what I feel, because of who he is. Is he not always worthy of our praise? Then we ought to always give it to him, no matter what. Rain or shine, good or bad. Tears, in the middle of your tears, give him praise. And praise, rather. Because he's bottled up every tear. Why? What does that mean? He cares intimately for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And his promise, I'll never leave you. I see your pain. I see your hurt. He sees you curled up like a ball. In a fetal position because you're in so much pain and agony. He sees that. He never turn his back on you. He sees those tears. He sees the hurt. He sees it. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, probably just several of you in here have been in a fetal position because of pain and hurt when nobody was around. I'm talking about human. Yes, he was a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Saw all it from the first tear until the last. Sometimes you cried yourself to sleep till your eyes swelled shut. He's bottled every tear, every single tear that fell from your eyes on that night. He bottled it. Symbolically saying, I love you, my daughter, my sister, my son. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. Don't go by feelings. He said, it's just, right now, that's what he was trying to get that to us right now. Don't go by feelings. You go by faith. Faith is not feelings. Faith is based on facts. The fact is, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then the Greek is tripled up. I will never, no, never, no, never. It's tripled up in the Greek. I will never, no, never, no, never. Can't you hear the first one? And you hear the second one. I get three times, which is perfection. Never, no, never, no, never will I ever leave you nor forsake you. Be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged, saints. Especially my sisters. Be encouraged. My brothers, too. We need it, too. Amen. Because I was feeling mighty low too, right with my baby. Feeling mighty bad. But Seeley came on the scene. Yeah. Hey, somebody say Seeley. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus. Lord said Jesus.
Woo, we say Jesus. Pray for me. Pray for me. But by the grace of God, yeah, go out. It's his grace that brought me through, that brought us through. And this is grace will continue to bring you through. This won't be the last time you have a hard time. Won't be the last time. That's real facts. Just get to know him more in the meantime. Just get to know him more in the meantime. Just get to know him more in the meantime. Get closer to him in the meantime. Been begging you to do this for 20 years or more. Get closer to him. So when the storm hits, you ain't got to go get a nail and a hammer. The word is neither in your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. That is a word of faith which we preach. Romans 10:8. The word is nigh thee. Where? It's near you. Where? Right in your heart. And it's in your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I keep saying, store the word up in your heart. Store it up in your heart. Store it up. Store it up. That he may not sin against you. So when the hard time comes, it's already stored up in there. You done bank stacks. If you will.
Yes.
You stacked it up.
Yes.
And your mind, you've been meditating so your mind is right. So you're not having. I'm not saying you're not going to hurt. You're going to hurt. Apostle Paul was hurt. He begged the Lord three times. It's not about not being hurt. It's about standing firm on God's rock while you're hurting.
Yes.
You're going to be hurt.
Yes.
It's not a sin to be hurt. But it's trusting him in the middle of the hurt.
Yes,
still being godly.
Mm-hmm.
Still serving the Son. What a testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
Still serving the Son.
Of
the one who did you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord and my God. You all have some testimonies out there. Unbelievable. You need to remember those testimonies, though, because sometimes we forget. Hold on, God did that for me? Oh, he did that for me? Yeah, you got to keep remembering that, because the current challenge, the current test can be so encompassing that you have temporary amnesia. You forget what he brought me through, John Jay. He brought me through. You got to keep remembering that. Well, if he brought me through that, he can bring me through this. You got to keep reminding. That's why he says, encourage yourself. That's what David said. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. Don't let the trust and hope in God slowly morph away from it and then onto your problem and onto your boom and onto the phone where you're calling people rather than the throne. You got to be, he's so slick and so subtle. Your faith and your hope starts to fade just a touch, but you don't even realize it's happening. The next thing you know, you overhear where all your faith is in a man or a human being and in your own self, and your whole focus is on the problem that you don't know how did I get here? How did I get here? That's why you gotta store that word up in your heart in abundance. Yes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, yes, in abundance, not in drips and drabs.
Yes.
You gotta be intentional, word of life. This is a fight. This is war like you ain't seen. It really is. And the people of God are under attack. And I'm going to tell you something. If you were in a lesser church, you probably would not be hit as hard as you're being hit. Because you ain't no threat. You don't know nothing. You over there where they and God. And everything is based on feelings. Everything is based on emotion. Everything is. You say, I ain't got any threat. That ain't no threat. All they gotta do is just say boo, and they're gonna try to bind me, throw some holy oil on me, try to find a cross and put it on my forehead, but they're not gonna speak the word. They're not gonna obey the word. That's the only offensive weapon we have, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's how you wield that bad boy. What we learned on Wednesday, remember some Machiavellis, that it's that in fighting, in close fighting. Yeah. Lord, help us to get this. Help us to get this. Hallelujah. Well, in a few moments we have, we'll talk about our foundation text, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm trying to review verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous, meaning love does not desire what someone else has. Love is glad that they have it, even though you don't have it. They're glad. Love is glad you have it. So it's not jealous. Does not brag. Bragging is making folks jealous of what you have. You're boasting so out loud with it. Love doesn't do that. When love receives and is blessed, and is quiet with it and just thankful and would be willing to share it with anybody. Very appreciative. And it's not arrogant. Arrogant is the inward from which bragging comes. Arrogant is in the heart. Bragging is the expression of that which is in the heart. Love is not arrogant, meaning you feel and believe you are superior to others inwardly. A snooty disposition. Uppity, we would call it. Love is not arrogant. I think we stop there. Verse 5, in the moment that we had, all that was verse 4. Verse 5, does not act unbecomingly. I won't be before you long. Does not act. It's an old English word, unbecomingly. That word means to behave or to act rudely. To behave rudely. To be discourteous. to act unmannerly, meaning to lack in manners. Are we not seeing this in the world today? Very rude, very discourteous, very unmannerly. Don't worry, it gets worse. Unbecomingly means to conduct oneself improperly or disgracefully or in a manner deserving reproach, meaning you're acting so out of pocket that it deserves a scolding or rebuke. Like, hey, man, calm down, that sort of thing. So again, it is to act in a manner deserving reproach. Means to act out of its place or character. And all these will be on the website, the notes. I know it's a lot. To overlook due decorum. Decorum means dignity, that which is dignified, modest, correct. To overlook that. My Lord, if you just look at the dress, the way women dress today, my Lord and my God, there's hardly no decorum there at all. None. Help us today, Jesus, to overlook due decorum and good manners, to be rude, insensitive, and harsh. It's an ugly word, isn't it? Just ugly. And we're still defining it. It means to misbehave toward others with irreverence and disrespect, with cruelty and condescension, with bad manners and hostility. It's not a nice word. Love is not like that. Someone once said, the loveless person does not care enough for those around to act becomingly or politely. I don't care enough around you. I don't care for you even to the point to even be courteous around you. Second, the comment goes on to say, the loveless person cares nothing for others' feelings or sensitivities. The loveless person is careless, overbearing, and often cruel. The comment again, the loveless person does not care enough for those around to act becomingly or politely. I don't care about you. So since I don't care about you, I'm going to act any kind of way around you because I don't care about you. That's the loveless person. The loveless person cares nothing for others' feelings or sensitivities. So they say they want to say, do what they want to do, act how they want to act. Care about you. I don't care about your feelings, your sensitivities, don't care. The loveless person is careless, overbearing, and often crude. We're going to stop right there because I'm not going to get into the example of that. We'll stop right there. Father God, we heard from you in a different kind of a way today. But I believe that we heard from you. Amen. You encouraged us. You reminded us. You edified us, uplifted us, warned us, exhorted us, instructed us, taught us, counseled us. He did all of that. And as my mother says, incessantly. And for that, we are forever grateful. I pray for each and every heart in this room today. And we will commit our way to you for real. That we will, on purpose, with deliberateness and intention, store your word up in our hearts in abundance, that we may not sin against you. Amen. And for those who do not know you, I ask that they will recognize their sin, recognize that when they do recognize a sin, that they'll recognize that they can't do anything about it, but throw themselves on the mercy of the cross, where the blood will be applied to their lives, the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. For you did speak it in your word, in your old covenant. You said, can a leper change its spots? Can an Ethiopian change his skin? The answer is no. Neither can a sinner change their spiritual state. Only you, Father, can transform one from life, death rather, unto life. Is there anyone here under the sound of my voice who doesn't know your ass that you move on their hearts? And when your spirit speaks to them, they will agree and be obedient and confess you as their Lord. And be transformed out of darkness into light. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's prepare for offering.